Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Yes.
Coming at you 5 days a week with all the Clippers news.
Hell yeah.
And today we're going to kick things off with a preview of today's game, which is going to be against the Nuggets. I got to be honest, the name of this one to me is like uncertainty.
Yeah, what the hell's going to happen in this game?
The Nuggets are doing some interesting things, which we're going to talk about in this preview, but they handed the Lakers a game on Tuesday.
Yes.
Or on Monday, I guess.
Yeah.
So we're going to break down that one regardless. There's some things that we need to do to win, as well as some things that could go wrong. So stay tuned for that. And then we're going to be talking presser vibes. The team was kind of asked about Trez and what his return is going to be like. So we're going to be breaking down all of that for you. And then in shavings, we're going to talk about some of the new awards the NBA will be announcing.
Yeah. POTSG, dude. Player of the seeding game.
As well as Terrence Mann got a slam shout out, so we're going to talk about that as well. So stay tuned for all that and more coming up right about now.
Yeah, so we're taking a look at Clippers versus Nuggets, and just seeding wise before we get too far into this. So the Rockets lost against the Spurs, which means the Clippers clinched a top three seed. So it's either two or three. And the Mavs are now locked in at seven.
So
we control our, you know, we win this game, we're pretty much the two seed. We can say hello to the Mavs. For the playoffs. Injuries are a little interesting in this one. There's no Bev.
For sure.
Which you kind of called it, I think, with like his week off type thing.
Yeah, don't know if we'll see him in any seeding games.
No Trez. And then, interestingly enough, no Shamit due to a left foot sprain.
Was there any further news yet on Reggie's ankle situation?
No, because people were asking about that on Twitter. Like, he clearly tweaked his ankle.
Yeah, I mean, he left the game.
Yeah, and there was nothing on the injury report.
Yeah, all right,
so, well. So, seemed good to go. I gotta assume that everyone plays on Friday, right? After this situation?
Man, I hope so. Like, I mean, you know my stance on this, man. I don't want to play crappy basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, like, unless they completely, like, empty their bench, I don't see any reason that we should do that.
That's a good call. Like, I like that.
I want the guys on the floor to, like, be building chemistry in games that hopefully, ideally matter, man.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. So what do we need to do to win in this game?
I mean, I think a big thing is going to be taking a similar approach to the defensive glass that we did against Dallas.
Like it.
We did a really good job on that one. The Nuggets in the bubble are like the second best offensive rebounding team. They average like 12, nearly 12 a game.
Jesus.
We're 18th in the What's bubble up? With eight. What's so, you up? Know, we're peaking. We're peaking out there.
Yeah.
But we're pretty similar in overall rebounding. We average like two more defensive rebounds. So we just ratchet that up a little bit. I think we're limiting those second chance opportunities, which is going to be great. This, I think, is the time for Zoo to shine.
I hope so. So I have in my note for what we need to do to win is some good team defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have bigs that can beat us. Not fouling is going to be a really big indicator of how this team looks for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
If we're kind of doing not lazy plays, but if we're swiping at the ball, you know, Murray is a guy who drives. That's what he does.
Yeah.
So if we're putting him at the line, I'm going to be pretty bummed out. We're still probably going to win the game. But like you said, I just want to see those habits created. And there, the Nuggets in the bubble have a -3 net rating.
Mm-hmm.
They have a defensive rating of 121.5.
Which is the worst, I believe, in the league in the bubble.
That would check out. And they have a 118 offensive rating, so a pretty good offensive rating.
Yeah, of course.
But just like the Trailblazers game, if we get a couple of stops, I think this game is going to be a lot easier than some people think.
Yes, definitely. Another thing we need to do to win is just create space on offense. So when the Nuggets are running those larger lineups, which I don't know if we'll see any of the lineups of Plumlee and Jokic in the front court.
And Bol.
and Bol. Stretching those guys all the way out to the perimeter is going to be very difficult, A, for the defender, and it's just going to open things up for Kawhi, for Paul George. Which, you know, obviously is super crucial.
Yeah.
And currently, we're the best three-point shooting team in the bubble in terms of percentage.
I like that.
Holding down at like 43%. So the threat of space is always there. Even though we, as fans, know that sometimes guys can have their ups and downs. No Landry is obviously going to be a big factor in this.
After that last game, I think I'm okay with him getting rest.
Looking at Jamike in this one, he's going to be huge. as far as like creating that space. And also,
there's going to be a lot on Jermichael's shoulders, actually, in terms of shooting, now that I'm kind of sitting here truly thinking about it.
Definitely.
Damn.
Definitely. A lot on him, a lot on PG. I mean, probably Morris, too. I mean, I would hope that his field goal attempts are going up as well.
Yeah.
And just piggybacking off of that, the Nuggets are a bottom five team in three-point attempts. Mm-hmm. We take, like, six more a game than them.
Damn. That's a lot.
If we can just not shoot, like, dog shit, I mean, I think that we're on the way to a pretty good dub.
Yeah. And so now we're kind of getting to what could go wrong. I talked about it a little bit. Just any team with multiple bigs that are good to great is kind of a red flag for this Clippers team. We've been able to handle it, but it is one of those things where there's no Trez. You know, it could be difficult if the Nuggets decide to play their actual rotations and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely worry about foul trouble, like you said, with this one with Zoo against somebody like Jokic.
And that's the thing. Like, at some point, Zoo's been playing fantastic. It's been amazing to watch. It's kind of like the Reggie thing. There's going to be a coming back down to earth period at some point.
And oh, yeah.
In a game against a team with these bigs like the Nuggets have, it could be that game, but I really hope it's not, because if he gets in foul trouble early, things get a little dicey.
Yeah, yeah. So this one you have, man, you have like a real Ramona Shelburne type narrative.
Oh yeah.
I vote on what could go wrong.
Yeah. I vote on all narrative. No. So this one is, MPJ has a good game and the why Jerome narrative gets louder, which look, you know,
why
the,
not
the whole Jerome thing? Yeah. The whole Jerome thing. Hey, it didn't work out. What are you going to do? You know?
I mean, I like what we were talking about this the other day. It's like, okay, so he'd play for the Thunder now anyways.
Yeah, exactly. Realistically, we have the wing defenders to destroy Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah.
We just do. He's been playing very well, which you can't really deny. He's the only person on the Nuggets who's shooting the ball well from deep. He's shooting 46% on 7 threes a game in the bubble.
Truly absurd.
Insane.
That's great shooting.
Just absurd. And everyone below him is like 23%, 32%, something like that. So if the rest of the Nuggets can hit outside shots, that could be a bit of a bugaboo for this Clippers team, but I don't think it'll happen.
Agreed. So let's get into some key matchups. One off the bat, like assuming that the team is, we're going to see the Nuggets team.
There's a lot of question marks with personnel.
At a competitive level, and you know, we might not, which we'll cover later, but if we do, I think Jeremiah Grant versus Kawhi is an interesting matchup. He has done a great job holding Kawhi down. He's held him to 7 points through 30 possessions across two games, which is, I mean, that's less than a quarter of a point per possession, which is very bad offense, objectively.
Yeah, I mean, he is kind of a Kawhi stopper. We saw it at Staples the last time they were there. It was just like, oh, Jeremy Grant just has this figured out.
Didn't matter, though. We still blew him out of the water. Put him like 30 points.
Because then you get the switch onto any other defender on the Nuggets, pretty much.
Yeah.
And Kawhi can just do his thing.
Also, the Nuggets struggle when they're not at home. They beat us this season at home.
It's a good call. And then Jamal Murray versus Reggie or whoever's going to start. We talked about this before we started recording. Do you start Lou? Do you start Reggie? Do you maybe start Gruder, but that might be too much responsibility? Like, the point guard situation's weird.
So here's my rationale. I think you stick with the Reggie thing. I don't love it. I wish that there were some better options, but I think the use of Lou's talents are a little bit better on that second unit.
Agreed.
And the thing is like, Reggie technically just has to do less on that first unit.
He just gives the ball, set it up.
If he can capably carry the ball up and like pass it off to somebody, we don't need him taking like the second most field goal attempts on the team
in half the
amount of minutes. But it does make sense. And I think that Lou is obviously going to be his most effective on that second unit.
Yeah, that's a good call. And this is going to be a team effort to stop Jamal Murray, who's playing out of his mind after coming back from the injury.
Yeah.
We're going to see some free safety-ness from PG and Kawhi, which I'm really excited to see. And then just stopping the point of attack is crucial. Jokic averages the most assists for this team.
Of course. So, yeah, he's great.
Yeah, which makes sense. So ball denial is going to be big. It's just flustering Jokic so he can't dish it off and you force him into, I guess, having to use his elite low post offensive game. But if the assists aren't there, that helps us. They're not a good outside shooting team right now. It's like, fine, if we lose points in the paint, we probably still end up winning this game. If they have to feed it down low,
yeah,
we're fine.
Yeah. So now we have to kind of get into a little bit of an unpleasant matchup, as I've been alluding to throughout this segment. I set it up top, but the Nuggets just completely handed a game to the Lakers on Monday.
Yeah, you were livid about this.
I just don't understand what they're doing. They didn't play a single one of their starters for the last quarter and a half of the game. It was kind of our situation with the Trailblazers, where we begged them to win it, and the Lakers miraculously, with the last-minute Kyle Kuzma shot, were able to beat the second-string Nuggets.
He had to kick Jesus in the nuts or whatever he said he was going to do. And honestly, from the Clippers, I don't know what we're going to see.
I mean, yeah, it's like I said, you know, I want to see good competitive basketball, but if, you know, if they're emptying the bench, I mean, then I guess we empty the bench, and that's, you know, that is what it is. Yeah, I don't like it, though. My thing is so what's... Let's talk about this for a second. What is their end goal here? Like, they want to drop down to four, so they play the Jazz in the first round?
I guess, and then you play the Lakers in the second round?
Yeah, I mean, like, is that the... I mean, I guess I'd rather see the Lakers than the Clippers if I'm, you know, if I'm them.
I guess. It just feels like a pick-your-own-poison thing because it's just not good either way.
Yeah.
Right? Like...
Yeah. Oh, they play OKC. They're slated to play the Jazz now. They'd play OKC in the first round if they dropped to four, which to me, that's the game that I would less want to play of those two games.
Yeah, for sure.
You're such a good offensive team. The Jazz are really going to struggle against you.
Yeah. It's odd. What's your prediction for this game?
Assuming that we see at least three quarters of a competitive basketball game.
I love how dead set you are in wanting to see a competitive basketball
game. What do you want me to say, man? There's two games left. Yeah. I don't want one of them to be like a running out the bench situation.
I think this one might be a bit of a run out the bench situation.
I hate it.
What's your prediction, though? Clips get the win?
Yeah, Clips dub. I'm going to go like 118 to 110, maybe 108.
Yeah, I think Clips get the win in this one. It's going to be weird.
Yeah.
I think it might be, maybe it's a game where we're like both trying to throw it, and it's just like,
and it's just the worst thing I ever watched.
Will takes off his glasses and rubs his temples. Yeah, I think it's Clips, I don't know, 110 Nuggets, 102, something like that.
I think we're both predicting like 8-point plus spreads.
Yeah.
Like it.
Yeah, go ahead and let us know if you win money off that. Coming up, we're going to be talking just some Presser Vibes pregame date. Doc had some, what I think are some pretty concerning things to say about Trez's usage when he comes back.
But aside from troubling things, you know the good news. Sports are back, baby.
They are.
We've been waiting for this day since March, and now that it's here, we've only got one thing on our mind. What is that?
Gambling.
My bookie.
Oh, yes.
My bookie is a home run, slam dunk, triple overtime, game-winning shot, all wrapped up into one. You love it. We love it. Gamble on it. MyBookie has the minute, up to the minute odds on all your favorite teams. And with the start of Major League Baseball just around the corner, well, it's already started, so that's my bet. there's never been a better time to start playing. It's easy. With MyBookie, you bet, you win, they pay. So if you're feeling good about your team's chances this year, sure as heck I am. Be sure to check out MyBookie's World Series future bets. Nothing shows you believe in your squad like betting on them before the season's even begun. But why stop with baseball? Smart bettors are always looking towards the future, and in this case, that means basketball, hockey, football, polo, curling.
So many sports. Badminton?
MyBookie is already accepting bets on all your favorite games. There's never been a better time to start exploring the world of online sports betting. Dip your toes in those waters. join today and MyBookie will match your deposit 100%. Plus, we'll toss you a free $10 MLB future wager.
A tenner?
All you got to do is enter promo code LOCKEDONNBA. That's all one word, LOCKEDONNBA, when signing up. MyBookie.com. You bet, you win, they pay.
Okay, welcome to Presser Vibes, pre-game day Presser Vibes.
Yeah.
Always a good time. Doc kind of just talked about team health and just overall kind of what's going to happen when Trez comes back. He was asked, you know, what do you want to see most in terms of resting players, etc. He just said health. This is all this guy wants at this point, is a fully healthy team.
Yeah, it would be nice. It would be nice.
it's just, I was sitting back thinking about today. It's the amount of just non-continuity with this team this year. Still, I feel like isn't talked about enough. How many practices have they had with a full team? I know it's a cliche at this point, but it's less than five.
I mean, how much more can we talk about it, though? The thing is like, we're
it is what it is.
We're out of time.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an excuse, but it's definitely something that's just like, goddamn.
We're what, just a little over a week from the playoffs?
Oh my God, that's terrifying. But
tying into the health thing, Doc said something that, I mean, kind of troubled you about Trez's return.
I don't like this at all. So he was asked, you know, Trez is very important part of your team. Crucial what you do. You found a good lineup with Zoo and Jermichael. How do you plan to incorporate Trez?
And he said the same.
Yeah.
It's going back to his regular usage, which...
come on, man.
Is like, really, really worrisome. And he did cite that, you know, Trez is most likely the sixth man of the award, sixth man of the year award winner. But need I remind Doc, those awards are locked up, baby. That's a pre-bubble
already
play.
Voted on. Yeah. Like, I just hate that the end of this question was, is it going to be a little different because of the way guys have played so far? The first word out of Doc's mouth, no. Like, I'm just worried from the standpoint of, Trez has a lot of minutes on his body. He has gotten the rest for 4 months, which is good. Then, you know, he has the unfortunate passing in his family. Takes as much time as he needs, which is fantastic. Now he's not going to play in this game against the Nuggets, but then on Friday, I'm expecting to see almost an entire half of Trez. Just because Doc seems to be like, we need to get him back to where he was. We might as well play him all these minutes.
Lou played 20 minutes in his first game back.
Lou doesn't play like Trez, though.
I know, and that's the thing. So I guess
they're
thing,
not straight.
Yeah, what's a little bit troubling about the Trez minutes is just that, you know, he's had kind of a lot of little knocks. He plays a very intense game. Yes. Takes what, like the second or third most charges in the league.
Yeah.
And he, you know, we've seen him time and time again in games, like kind of, you know, roll an ankle a little, maybe come down a little
punch
bit hard.
The sweet James stanchion in frustration and then just be fine.
Yeah. And I mean, while I think that ultimately, yeah, that stuff isn't a big deal, it's cumulative, you know?
Yeah, it adds up.
It does add up. And I would hate for, you know, like the soft, like luckily we haven't been seeing a lot of soft tissue injuries.
Yeah.
Since the return.
Yeah.
But Trez is a player that, like, if he's going to be put into that position where he has to play a bunch of minutes straight, even if something is hurting, he's not going to sub out.
No, not at all. And another thing, this could just be detrimental to the team as a whole. If Zoo and Jermichael are playing so well and spacing the floor so well, and Zoo's hitting the stride of, hey, maybe he could close out games or something, you know, for a little bit.
Matchup dependent.
For sure. Or something like that. But now it's just like all of that feels like it just was not for naught, obviously, because we saw what we can do in some rotations. But it just feels a little like, dude, are you like... It's a little bit to me pounding your head against the wall of just like, yeah, well, no, we'll throw Trez in there. Who cares about all the great stuff that Jermichael?
It's like, it ties into maybe the largest criticism I think fans maybe have of Doc, which is he tends to get a little set in his ways.
Yeah, definitely. And this is like, we know Trez is amazing. He deserves a sixth man of the year. He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But the guy,
he's
might-
a man. That's all we're saying.
All I'm saying.
He can even go back to the exact same usage as he was at. You can choose to manage the minutes in it, whatever way you feel fit. But I think it takes an easing in.
Maybe ease it in. Maybe we start that the, you know, first game of the second round or something like that. And you give Zoo some time to maybe get some playoff closing experience in the first round. You know, like you get Jermichael a chance to get back to where he was in that, you know, Golden State series where he's feeling confident and stuff like that. Yeah, the rotations could be frustrating coming up.
So some good news about Trez.
Yes.
Lou Will was asked sort of like what the quarantine was like for him and how it's like communicating with Trez. And he was pretty open in saying that, you know, the team has been texting with Trez every single day.
Yeah.
They texted with Pat every single day when he left, obviously with Lou Will while he was gone. It seems like guys are going by Trez's room, just speaking on the other side of the door.
Which is so funny to think about.
Oh, I love it.
There's got to be secret knocks.
We were saying before this that we wish that the media would just do interviews on the other side of the door when a player's in quarantine. But, I mean, it's great to hear. It's one of those things like, so if you haven't had the minutes, like the reps, I do think that like there's an emotional chemistry that it's
for
not
sure.
The same. It's not in any way the same, but it does help a team who have, you know, had to adjust to a lot of uncertain circumstances.
Yeah, you know, Trez just chilling in that portable sauna and just getting the secret knocks, you know, maybe sending kites to each other. Lou is also kind of asked about the like
flip the switch, which I hate. Yeah. Can we have one postseason where we don't say that?
Nah, man, it's all about flipping the switch, dude. What about the clip flip? Does it sound better if we call that the clip flip?
No. The clip flip is, you got to hop on this Clippers
bandwagon.
You got to
hop on this Clippers bandwagon. That's fair. But no, Lou talked about it. He said, I think you kind of see it. I think you see us play well in spurts. Then with the minutes and everything, I think our coaching staff, they're getting ready for the big picture.
Definitely.
Which makes sense. But this also just plays into your stuff of like, let's see some, you know, the minutes loads have been weird. Pat's had a week off. There's a lot of stuff.
So my thing is, it's just like, if you haven't played, I mean, if you haven't played, let's say 30 minutes of great basketball.
Yeah.
How is that going to change when you're in the playoffs?
You flip the switch, dude. You've obviously never flipped a switch.
That's fair. And I mean, teams do pull it together all the time. Obviously, the stakes are higher. I think everybody on this team is also really good at that thing of where if they have a bad game, they're kind of able to shrug it off. Maybe not Landry, but yeah. Everybody else kind of able to shrug it off.
Landry catching strays. But Lou said, he said, I know there's another level there. I know we have another place that we can tap into. I think guys are getting ready for that. I think they are too.
Is that the inner Clipper zone?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Terrence Mann was also interviewed. He kind of just talked about like being a bench catalyst. And he gave it up to the two dudes that you give it up to if you're on the Clippers bench, which is Lou and Trez.
Yeah, said they taught him how to play, essentially.
Man, it's such a great environment to be in for a rook if you're him.
You know, I wouldn't have thought that these guys, and I guess I should have known because of Shea, but would be so open to like teaching the younger guys thing. I guess when you make big trades, you know, and you get rid of people and you take on all stars like this, and the expectations get so high. I mean, to us, obviously development would take a backseat, but it seems like Terrence, he's come a further way than I thought he would have this season.
And he's been dedicated the whole season. There's the pics of him just talking and being around Kawhi and PG.
Yeah.
I also think it's easier for a guy like Lou to be like, you're not taking any of my minutes. So
for sure. For
let's
sure.
hang. All in all, it was a good presser. He talked about, some of us are older, some of us are younger. We kind of bring the energy they need. It was a good presser.
Yeah, definitely.
Guys are looking good. Hope Trez doesn't play too many minutes in that Friday game. Coming up next, we're going to be talking the bubble awards that are going to be given out.
Can't wait. All right, so we're back with Shavings. Per Shams, the NBA will be announcing player of the seeding games as well as all seeding games teams. They really got to workshop these titles a little
these
bit better.
These are bad. These why are not, first draft.
Why not bubble boys and bubble bees? Because a B is like a team.
Oh, that's a good call.
A boy is obviously of the player.
Yeah.
Also got a good ring to it.
I don't know.
Some that bubble might, boys?
Look, that sounds like a second idea. You know, that's the second draft. You know, we like the second draft. Maybe there's some tweaks there. Do any Clippers players have a shot at player of the seeding games? It's Damian Lillard, obviously, right?
It's Damian Lillard or TJ Warren.
Oh, yeah. Good call. TJ Warren didn't miss two free throws to cost his team a game.
Damn straight.
I don't think any Clippers have a shot. I mean,
no, dude, we're six games in, and we've seen some solid play. Don't get me wrong,
for sure.
But it hasn't been anything that's been like, whoa, I didn't know the Clippers had this gear, or I didn't know they could do this.
And Kawhi,
maybe JaMychal, but
yeah, but he's not putting up the numbers for it. And Kawhi's had flashes where you're like, Kawhi had his best offensive game in the bubble, recently, but it's just not. Realistically, the Clippers have a better chance at having guys on the all-seeding games team, I think.
I still think that's the Suns.
Just the whole Suns?
Yeah.
I think Zoo has a chance to maybe be second team all-seeding games.
Yeah.
I think that might be about it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we haven't had as much continuity.
Yeah.
Like,
Are there going to be three levels of the all seeding games team?
They gotta
work on that title, man.
I know it does not have a ring to it. I think there's just going to be one. Two would be like, dude, there's only this many teams. Like, the hell are we doing?
Truthfully, though, there's only eight less teams, so two a little bit, I suppose, make sense.
So if there's two, I could see
Kawhi and Paul George are both on there.
Yeah, based on name, I think.
And performance.
I don't know. And that's not, they just haven't played in all of the game. You know what I mean? I think maybe Zoo, maybe JaMychal, but I don't know. Nothing, no one seriously who I, no one's going to be snubbed.
Yeah, that's right. You know,
we're going to end on a nice happy note. Another Terrence Mann note. He made Slam's 1920 all-rookie drip team.
Love it.
Way to go, Terrence. Love and it. Deserved, I would say.
Yeah.
Always had good fits.
Yeah.
Maybe not as bold of a dresser as our last Drip King rookie, which was Shea. But this is kind of putting a nice little tradition together for the Clips.
Yeah.
Which is just sauciest rookies.
The thing is, you live in LA, you got to bring the sauce.
You have to. It really, I mean, I'm sure Shea, there's no question in my mind that Shea's the best dressed person in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, for just sure.
From being here. There's a lot of pressure on the next rookie who gets drafted by the Clips to look good.
Yeah.
Do you think Terrence Mann next year is going to be like, hey,
you really got to step things up over here, man.
You look like shit. you gotta get this figured out.
You gotta be doing better, man. This is you're embarrassing us out here.
Who would you say is the best dresser on the Clips?
Ooh. So it would have been Paul George early, but his fits have kind of changed from when he was like coming back from injury to now.
Bubble stuff obviously out the window. Everyone's kind of wearing shorts and, you know, comfortable basketball tournament clothes.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of tough now because I just do feel like everything has been so activewear inspired. Very active forward. Yes. Very yoga goth in some
yes, in some regards. Very yoga goth.
I actually might go kind of Pat, but it's because he kind of dresses like it's like kind of minimal, toned down stuff. Not usually huge like logos or anything.
Bev has a similar style.
Yeah. And so I kind of appreciate that. He also sometimes rocks the beanie, and it's like a good look on him. People can't rock the beanie, and too many people wear it thinking they can rock
it. I'll tell you who can't rock a beanie. Me. Forehead's either way too big or I don't know what I'm doing. I was gonna say Shamit. Shamit has a nice.
That's an interesting choice.
I would say a very beach Los Angeles style.
Yeah.
Very kind of airy. He looks good in suits, no socks type thing.
Yeah, I actually gotta change my vote.
Okay.
I'm going Trez.
Whoa.
He takes big swings and I appreciate that.
He does take big swings.
And I'm like polarizing both things because I love Pat because he like puts together like a classic outfit. I love Trez because he's swinging for the fences, baby.
And it usually looks good. It's all put together. Trez does the thing where Trez very much likes in-style clothes, but he doesn't
it's trendier.
Exactly. But he doesn't do the thing where it's like, dude, you're just wearing all the clothes that are in style. This doesn't necessarily look put together. Trez always has like there's a consistent color theme, there's a palette. It's never like a hodgepodge.
Yeah, and the custom, he's got a lot of custom baseball jerseys, which I appreciate.
Man, Jimmy John's one, still an all-time jersey.
That and the average Joe's one always gets me.
Yes, that's some good stuff. Anything else in the shavings drawer? We could talk about the Clippers fashion all day.
Oh, we could, for sure. No, that's going to wrap it up. I'm just hoping for a good game against the Nuggets.
I'm jacked for this game.
Yeah, I don't want to be disappointed. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, Wednesday's episode, we're going to have a recap of the hopeful victory of some good basketball against the Denver Nuggets. No doubt some presser vibes. Then whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, Will, where can these fantastic people find us?
Check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and subscribe if you haven't already. Mm-hmm. Leave a rating or review. We love it. Mm-hmm. You can also subscribe to us on Spotify, on Deezer, I think Amazon Pods, if that's a thing. And you can also
Zon Pods, yeah.
Yes, Zon Pods, Basil Pods. You can also tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clips. Hell. Locked On Clippers. I think you might have to say the whole thing.
Yeah, please say the whole thing. There's a bootleg out there with Bill Updike and I don't know what the fake Chuck name is.
Charlie.
Yeah. Oh, God. Don't even get me started. Yeah, thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.